The views and opinions of today's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. Thank you for being a loyal listener and enjoy the show.
Online radio at its best. You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise.
Good morning, and welcome to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, the show where we discuss politics, social issues affecting people of color, and every now and then a little comedy as well. Now here's your host, J. Ryle.
Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction, and good morning, and welcome to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show. Today is April 7th, 2022, and here are the topics that will be discussed on this week's edition of the show.
So we all saw the pictures of heavily armed agents from Homeland Security Investigations arriving at Sean Combs' mansion here in L.A., but for the first time now, we are seeing what happened inside as the agents moved along the hallways, weapons drawn, guided in part, it appears, by a drone as they move in to detain two of Combs' adult sons, Justin and Christian.
Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop.
The San Bernardino Sheriff's Office has released videos helping to explain how a 15-year-old girl ended up dead in a highway shootout that involved law enforcement and her father.
Breaking news in Donald Trump's civil fraud case. The New York Attorney General has filed notice questioning essentially the financial strength of the company that posted his bond and whether it can cover the cost.
Online radio at its best.
Dear Lord, I thank you for waking me up this morning. I praise and glorify your holy name. This is the day that you have made, so I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today I ask for your guidance and protection as I tackle my day. May your hand be on me, Lord. When things get tough, may I have the courage to set my heart and mind on you, knowing that you will see me through any obstacles during my day. Help me focus on you and set aside time for prayer and your word. I desire to fellowship with you more and more each day. I thank you in advance for the peace that will envelope me today. In Jesus' name, amen.
First and last word here. Oh my goodness, I'm just talking and nothing's happening. 347-850-1272. Welcome into the serious side of the J. Ryle Show. I'm yours truly, J. Ryle. Thank you so much for spending a portion of your Sunday with us. And I never share the stage by myself. Let me bring in my brother from another one, mother, the one and only, Mr. L to the E to the S. Man, good morning. How are you? And good save, my brother, my Lord. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you. And good morning, Nessa. Good morning, Mama B. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, Ryan Music. Good morning, Rich D. Good morning, Rich Sister. And good morning, my brother Hawk. And good morning, my brother Jerome.
Once again, the number is 347-850-1272. It's amazing. You know, we've been trying to have the perfect show forever, and something always happens. And the no-hitter is gone. Right off the bat, I'm just bumping my gums. Mic's not on. I'm like, what the hell? Then I heard something go beep. I'm like, oh. Wasn't talking. But anyway, folks, appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. And, of course, if you listen to this show, you know, this is the portion of the show where we kind of rap and clap and talk about things that did not make the main agenda for today's activities. And first thing that I want to talk about, Mr. Elias, is the earthquake, man, in New Jersey. Wow. 4.8 on a Richter scale. I had a friend. She happened to be in New Jersey at that time. She said she was riding the airport trolley, and it just shook so bad, and people really didn't know what was going on. They thought it was like a rough ride, and they didn't realize that they were a part of an earthquake until they had stopped. So 4.8 ain't no joke, man. What say you in regards to that?
Well, all I can say is that in, I think it was 2011, they had a 5.8 out there. So, yeah, man, them earthquakes are no joke, man. You know, and I tell all our people out there in the East Coast, man, speaking of people in the East Coast, Momo B is going to chime in with us. But, that is, wow, that's something else, man.
Have you ever been a part of an earthquake?
Yeah, we had a small one here about, had to be 8 to 10 years ago. And it just blew, and it was like for 10 seconds, man. It was like, what the hell was that? Then on the news, we saw it was an earthquake here. So I was like, my God, that's something. But, you know, I wouldn't want to be a part of that one. No, thank you. No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah, well, I tell you what, I have. And I was a little boy when it happened. We were in Illinois, and it shook so bad that we were in the field playing. And it shook so bad that it knocked us down. I mean, we didn't know what was going on. And, and so I've been a part of one. I was a little boy, so that was a long time ago. So that can be some scary stuff, man. All of a sudden, the earth is shaking, and you have no idea what's going on. So
I just know where to go either. Nowhere to go.
Well, like I said, this was on my grandmother's farm, and so we were in the middle of a field, so there were no trees around, so it was just a matter of trying to catch our footing. Now, what's amazing to me is I don't remember my grandmother's shack, which my grandfather and his sons built. I don't remember it having any damage, so that's very interesting indeed. The fact that that damn thing stood up, and they built that from they built it from the ground up, and so amazing. And then I think about it, that's a hell of a task by those guys. But anyway, you said our sister wanted to chime in. Let's bring in Miss Elias. My goodness. Good morning, Momo B. How are you on this beautiful Sunday morning?
Yeah, I'm happy, and I'm loving life. And hi, Mr. L to the E to the S.
Hey, Momo B.
How you doing?
I am good. How about yourself, darling?
Yeah, I'm hanging in here. Let me tell you something about life.
Right. Don't sound so yesterday, dang
unhappy. I love y'all both of y'all. But I got to tell you about my life in the past 2 weeks. Yesterday, Friday was the earthquake. But the Friday before that, I got into a car accident. My car flipped over. I was upside down on the street. And I was like, what is going on here? Why am I turned upside down? I had to crawl out of the window. And my niece was in the back seat. And people was like, what's going on? They were trying to come, because I got dark tint. So they didn't know. They knew there was a driver in there, of course, but they didn't know what was going on nowhere else. So I said, I got a little girl in the back seat. Get her out first. I don't care. Just get her out first. I just wanted her to be out. You know what I'm saying? So they went back there, whatever. They unzipped her. They unbuckled her, but when we flipped upside down while we were sitting there, it seemed like forever, but it really wasn't. Before people came, because she was all over. But she was like, "Momo," I'm like, "Lilia, are you okay?" She said, "Yeah," and then I would be quiet because I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And she's like, "Momo," I'm like, "Lilia, you okay?" She said, "Yeah." Momo, I said, "Will you stop saying Momo? Let's try to get out of here." It seemed like forever. But we got out. She's okay. She was perfect. I got a whole black eye. You know, I never had a black eye in my life. All the fights I had in this world, I never had a black eye. Now it sure is right here on my face, and it's still here. I'm like, when is this thing going to go away? But that was last Friday. Now this Friday, here comes this earthquake. I'm sitting here in my room, me and Lola, Logan's the dog, chilling. And then all of a sudden, the whole house is shaking. And you hear a noise. I thought that my boiler in the basement blew up. That's what I thought.
Oh, my God.
Because first I thought it was one of them big old dump trucks coming by, whatever them trucks are. You know, because they come by sometimes and they do a little noise. But I was like, what is that? So when I kept doing it, I thought the boiler blew up. I said, oh, shoot, we got to get out of here because boiler blowing up means fire. We got to get out of here. Look, Lola already took off. Normally in thunderstorms, Lola goes to the bathroom. Like, she runs to the bathroom and runs under the toilet. That's her getaway. I don't know what is back there, but that's where she goes when it's thunderstorms. This girl ran straight to the front door. I was like, what? And I ran to the living room window. I looked outside to see if I saw any smoke. And I said, let me just get my shoes on and get outside because I thought it was the boiler. I've never been in an earthquake before. I never felt nothing like this. You know, because you could feel the whole house moving. And I know if it moves, it's going to fall down. This house is from 1700 and whatever year. No, I don't know what year it was. But I was like, we got to get out of here. And then I picked up the dog, ran downstairs because I knew it was a fire in the basement. Got outside. I ain't smell nothing. A lot of people came out the house. And they looking like, what happened? Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. So what's that mean? Because I'm the first one out. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that was scary.
Did your house shift? Because I know in New Jersey, they a lot of people had to leave their homes because the houses shifted. And it was like roofs. So the roof tops were touching each other. So, you know.
Well, oh, no. It wasn't that bad here. I don't know if we got a little tilt. Okay. I don't know. And I ain't going to find out. Because as long as I can walk up the steps properly get back in my stuff, I'm like, I'm going back up here. And I didn't know it was an earthquake until somebody called me and told me, are you okay? Did you feel the earthquake? I said, because I didn't expect it to be an earthquake. I thought it was downstairs in the basement. And when I figured out that was okay, I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, well, we're glad you're okay. Yeah, we're glad you're okay. And we're glad the people of New Jersey's okay. And so just, you know, always the first thing you do, obviously, if there is an earthquake, is get outside because you don't want the structure to collapse on you and your loved ones. So we're happy you're okay. And I'm not sure. I didn't hear if there were any deaths from that. But I think so far so good. So we're good to go. All right. So next story, big game tonight. Actually, this afternoon, South Carolina, Iowa. You know, let me get your take on that call, Mr. Elias.
Yeah, look, I thought that was that call was suspect, man. Come on, dog.
Well, I'll say this, that by the textbook, it was a charge. It was a movie screen. If you go back and play it in slow motion and look, you know, where her feet are planted. Usually when your feet are planted outside of your shoulders, they usually call that. But you don't make that call there. And if you're going to call that in the fourth quarter, you need to call that same screen in the first quarter. And in my opinion, it was a bad call. Not because, you know, technically it was right. She kind of leaned into it. But you don't make that call because it had no effect on that play whatsoever. And I think that girl oversold it as well. But that's okay. America got what they want. I'm not going to sit here and be a hater on Caitlin Clark. I think what she and Reese, what they have done for college basketball, women's basketball, and women's sport in particular is a wonderful thing. I'm a girl dad. My daughter's trying to get a college basketball scholarship now. So, hey, the more eyes on the sport, the merrier. But at the end of the day, I want South Carolina to wax that ass today at 3 o'clock because I'm going to tell you right now, it's what they always want. And I'm sorry for our white listeners. We're not prejudiced, but come on. Y'all have to admit to yourself that when you have a white person excelling in a sport that's usually dominated by African Americans, everybody wants to jump on that bandwagon. Just ask George Clooney how that worked out for him. At the end of the day, they gonna get that ass beat today because they beat them last year. So this is the dream matchup, but I want South Carolina to whoop their ass.
Wow.
Yes.
I concur.
I want them to beat the living out of them.
Uh-oh. Everybody calm down.
I want them to lose by 20-plus points. I want
you
to
have
see Caitlin Clark walking off the floor with tears in her eyes.
And limping.
The
limping part is
that.
What you say, Miss Elias?
No, that's my part.
She's not going to walk off the floor with tears. You know what, man? She'll go on to the next stage. And you know,
oh,
have,
she'll,
no,
walk
you
she'll walk off
I
with tears. She'll walk off with tears.
So, man.
Well, we'll
she'll
see.
She'll walk off last year with tears.
Well, that's okay. But see, she had another year. This is her last collegiate game. This is her last game come hell or high water. So I do think there will be a little bit of mistiness around her eyes. That's what I want to
if
see.
If you say so. She's going on to the next, and if she takes Ice Cube up on her offer, which I don't understand why she wouldn't do, I would take Ice Cube up on his offer.
On what offer is that? What are you talking about?
Okay, you know Ice Cube is part owner of the Big Three, right?
Okay.
They offered her $5 million to come play in the Big Three for 10 games. Well, 8 games, 10 if they go to the finals.
Yeah. Okay, so what? I mean, she's going to be the highest WNBA player, which we know that's not a whole lot of money.
You know
money.
How much the highest WNBA
well,
player
Well, I just
make?
Said, Mr. Elias, we know it's not a lot of money, but she also has
take
endorsement
the
deals. She
take
is...
The 5 million.
Okay. Once again, I just said we know that that's not a whole lot of money, but at the end of the day, she has endorsements deals. She can probably, well, she can't play anymore because the eligibility is over. But hell, a lot of those college kids are saying, look, I can make more money staying in college than going to the pros.
She could stay one more year if she wanted to.
I don't think so.
Bond Angel Reese. Yeah, they could. I bet you.
Bond Angel, Angel Reese is not a singer,
play.
Though. Okay, well, I don't know.
Yes,
I just thought
is.
That. Okay, well,
Angel Reese is a singer.
No, she's not.
Yeah, because of COVID. All of these players got one more year left of eligibility. So, because of COVID.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to go back and research that. I'm not going to argue with you. Okay, I will look it up, sir. I will. I will look it up, and then we will have this conversation. Yeah, you know, he's a butthole sometimes. But, yeah, we'll look it up.
No, you don't know what you're talking about. You want to tell me something I might know.
Oh,
God.
Really?
Why does she have to declare eligibility? Why does she have to declare eligibility for the WNBA then? Why does she have
no problem.
Declare?
I tell you what. We're going to step out and take a break. While we're on break, I will be Googling my ass off because I would love
Google.
Nothing more in the world to come back and tell
you
to kick. Hey,
Google. Does Caitlin Clark have one more year?
We'll be right back after this, folks. I can't stand this bastard.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Tens of thousands of Israelis protested last night against Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and demanding a Gaza hostage deal. NPR's Rob Schmitz is in Tel Aviv.
Chanting elections now, anti-government protesters were joined by the families of hostages held in Gaza, marching through central Tel Aviv and marking 6 months since the Hamas attacks triggered war in Gaza. Aran Rodab was among them.
We believe this government destroyed our country, and we want elections now, and also to bring all the hostages back.
No. The demonstration was the latest of a series of huge anti-government protests demanding Prime Minister Netanyahu step down amidst public anger that he has failed to free the remaining 130 Israeli hostages in Gaza. Rob Schmitz, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Talks on a ceasefire expected today in Cairo. The Israeli military says it's withdrawn most ground troops from southern Gaza. A military spokesman says one brigade remains in the area. U.S., Australia, Japan, and the Philippines holding a joint military patrol in the South China Sea today. Notable joint show of strength designed to push back against Chinese claims, as NPR's Emily Fang reports.
The U.S. Defense Department said the joint patrol involved the Air Force and Navy and the sailing waters controlled by the Philippines, though China has also laid territorial claims to some of the same waters. The inclusion of regional partners Australia and Japan in the patrols is meant to bolster interoperability, meaning the ability for militaries from several countries to work together and mesh their systems together. Sunday's joint patrol comes just days before the U.S. hosts leaders from Japan and the Philippines in meetings to address tensions with China in the South China Sea. Emily Fang, NPR News, Taipei, Taiwan.
Donald Trump's Republican campaign for president says it raised more than $50 million at a donor event in Palm Beach, Florida last night. The fundraiser tops a single event record set by President Biden last month. Trump is aiming to narrow Biden's substantial fundraising lead, as Veronica Zaragovia, member station WLRN, reports.
Billionaire investor John Paulson hosted the fundraiser at his house in Palm Beach. Guests paid between $250,000 and more than $814,000 to attend the event called the Inaugural Leadership Dinner. Money from this fundraiser will go towards Trump's campaign, state Republican Party, the RNC, and a political action committee that's been covering much of his legal bills. In March, Trump and the Republican National Committee reported raising more than $65 million. While the campaign of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris announced they pulled in more than $90 million last month. For NPR News, I'm Veronica Zaragovia in Miami.
This is NPR.
Hey, President Biden, is Obamacare still a thing? Is it still a thing?
Yes. Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, Biden Care, whatever you call it, yes, it is still a thing. The other side's been trying to repeal it every year since it's existed, but we'll keep fighting to protect it.
Not just protect it, but expand it, saving millions of dollars for working families. We're covering more people than ever.
Just go to healthcare.gov to learn more.
Yeah, it's still a BFD.
Online radio at its best.
So we all saw the pictures of heavily armed agents from Homeland Security Investigations arriving at Sean Combs' mansion here in LA. But for the first time now, we are seeing what happened inside as the agents moved along the hallways, weapons drawn, guided in part, it appears, by a drone as they move in to detain two of Combs' adult sons, Justin and Christian. They have their rifles aimed at the pair. The edited video was posted on Instagram by Justin Combs' mother, Misa Hilton, who called the agents' actions overtly militarized and deplorable. And Hilton said, quote, "If these were the sons of a non-black celebrity, they would not have been handled with the same aggression. The attempt to humiliate and terrorize these young black men is despicable." But law enforcement experts say everything the agents are seen doing on the video is standard practice.
23 minutes after the hour, you're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Rao Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Welcome back in. Now, if you are just tuning in, during our rap and clap session, Mr. Elias and I had a debate about the eligibility of two of college basketball's, women's basketball's greatest stars, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. So the argument was, can these ladies come back and play for another year? Then the other argument was, are both Caitlin and Angel Reese seniors? Okay, so now I am here to say and announce that both of us were right. Mr. Elias was right about the eligibility. Because of COVID, they do technically have one more year of college, one more year of eligibility. However, I was right when I said that Angel Reese, she is a junior. She's not a senior. So she is foregoing her senior year to participate in the WNBA draft. So I guess both of us were right in a way. But at the end of the day, you're absolutely correct. They do have one more year of eligibility due to COVID. All right, so there you go. I will admit that. All right, so
let me ask you a question. So Caitlin has one more year due to COVID, and homegirl got how many years? Does she have two more years?
I don't know if that means that he equates to two more years or not. I think the way I'm assuming, you know what they say about their word. I'm assuming
yeah.
Because they lost one year, they're giving them another year of eligibility. So I don't know.
Right.
I mean, that's a good question. I have no idea if she could
stay but it
for
makes
an additional 2 years.
You have to. If everybody's getting a plus one, he's everybody.
Yeah. Well, I know that Angel Reese, you know, there was a big, you know, she said, well, I'm not going to announce whether or not I'm staying until, you know, after the game. And I think there was a picture of a crown that she left on the bench saying that, you know, hey, she's passing the crown on. I don't know if it's Photoshop. You know, you just can't tell these days what's real and what's not real.
Right.
But yeah, so anyway, so we were both right. But Ms. Delius was correct. They do have, at least Caitlin Clark has an extra year of eligibility. She's technically a senior, but she does have one more year of eligibility, but she decided she's moving on to the next level, which makes sense. So Homeland agents raided the homes of Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Combs a few weeks ago. We didn't talk about it here on the show, but I have read messages about saying, why didn't y'all talk about it? I said, well, you know what? Maybe we need to talk about it. So we are going to talk about it this week. Let me tell you something. Homeland Security is raiding your house. You might as well prepare, start making arrangements, P. Diddy, to have your finances taken care of by somebody, because they're coming to get you. It's just a matter of time now. You know, I was reading some stories this past week about what I didn't know was the fact that Usher was found by Uptown Records, which I think was originally founded by not Big Kane, but Heavy D, right?
Andre Herrera, right? Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Heavy D. You're right. And so what I also didn't realize was that at that time, Sean Combs was just an associate with them. And so at that time, Usher, they had found Usher and they had assigned Usher, or Sean Diddy Combs had guardianship rights over Usher. And Usher actually stayed with him for a year.
I
didn't know that either. Yeah, I found out that and the first thing that Sean Puffy Combs did was took him to a strip club at the age of 15 or 13 or wherever age they found him. And so all this stuff was starting to come out about Diddy. And I didn't realize, because I don't really follow that world, to be honest with you. But, you know, I heard that, what's the guy's name? Meek? What's the guy that was in jail?
Meek Mills.
Yeah, that guy, I'm hearing that he has something to do with this. And, you know, and so what I'm hearing is, and I'm not saying it was this guy, but what I'm hearing is, after doing a lot of research on this, is that what they would do is they would get these rap boys, get them drunk, and then have sex with them, right, and tape it. And so then when it's time to do the deal, then, you know, they're trying to sign them to these deals, and these guys are like, I'm not taking that deal. That's crazy. Oh, yeah? Hey, look at that monitor to your left. Oh, the homeboys have ran your booty hole wide open, so now if you don't take this deal, we're going to publish this stuff. This sounds like some gangster stuff. I mean, this is crazy.
It sounds crazy to me, because I wouldn't take the deal. You publish it if you want to. I'm going to tell you where I was and who was filming.
Yeah, well, if you hardcore, you all these street dudes, and you put this out there amongst the homies, you know, hey, that's not a good deal.
No,
you know
what
I'm saying?
I wouldn't want to put it out there. If I was the person that was trying to be taken advantage of, and you told me that you're going to put it out there for my people to see, you were the one that's going to go to jail. I'm not going to jail, but you will be.
Yeah, okay. Well, see, there's street justice and there's like justice and there's street justice.
This is not a thing about street justice. If I'm getting penetrated in my butthole, what's that got to do with the street?
Well, it's everything, because you a gangster, and all of a sudden he gets you all laid up like a trick. And you said that out by your boys, like, oh, yeah. Nah, oh, boy, you're going to sign
like
this deal.
It's not like they're going to kill me. That's what I'm saying. It ain't like
Hey, your reputation. Well, look
they
here.
They might not
people
talk
going
to me again. But they ain't going to kill me.
Well, look, You know, they, you know, listen, you can say what you want to say, but street cred goes a long way. There are people in jail right now because they don't want to snitch on somebody else. Hey, Miss Elias, you remember you remember what Bernie Mac said, huh? I'd be up in the jail, my hand raised up in court. I'm not going to jail for nobody. Nobody. But we don't live that lifestyle. Well, some of us are closer to that lifestyle than others. Wink, wink, Momo B. But
are.
You are. But
I'm saying, I didn't know. All this stuff about Diddy, I didn't know. A lot of stuff I
didn't either.
Know. And I used to be a hardcore bad boy fanatic. Like, I was crazy about them. But
you went hard enough.
Just like I was hardcore about R. Kelly. I was hardcore about him. I'm hardcore about all these people. But you never know what's going on in their house. I don't live there. I don't go there. I've never been there. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. So, Mr. Elias, let me get your thoughts on this, man, because, you know, once again, one of the mothers of the sons were saying, and I saw the video, and they came in there, bro, like they were busting in Iraq. But on the other hand, you know, I mean, listen, I mean, if you're entering a place of residence and you don't know what's going on, you got to secure everybody. You got to clear the house first. And they came in there strong, bro. They really and truly did. But at the end of the day, man, if these things are true about this guy, once again, I will be finding the nearest trash can. The only thing I have – well, let me ask you this, because I don't listen to R. Kelly anymore. I just don't. I have girls.
I
that's you. I have daughters.
Yeah,
And let me explain to you why.
I don't care.
He never gets – okay, you're right. Man, I'm going to let you go ahead.
Well, no, you go ahead and say, I'm just telling you, I don't care.
I care, yeah.
Explain it to the listeners. I don't care.
Because he does not get a dime of the money. Every dime that he gets from listening to his music goes to the victims. He doesn't get any money anymore.
Well, I need to look that up because I didn't hear that. I never heard that.
So wait a minute. Hold on. Pause. Okay, so pause. You telling me that you still listen to R. Kelly even though all the things you heard that he's done, that is true. It ain't no apparently or what they call it, the whatever the word is that mean, you know, we ain't saying it's true.
Alleged.
It's not.
Alleged.
I don't know. Yeah, allegedly. You still listen to this man, even though you might say allegedly he did this, allegedly he did that, but we already know what he did. And you're saying, Mr. L to the E to the S, that you still listen to his music because, and only because, when you listen to it, 13 cents go to the victims.
Yeah, you know what, Mama, I stopped listening to his music when this first happened, but when I found out that all of his music, when you listen to his music, all the royalties and everything go to the victims, then I support that.
So you started pumping it again?
Yeah, once I found out the money goes to the victims, I'm on that one.
You found out because you heard it somewhere.
No, I'm telling you, a news report said it. A news report said that. And when I heard that news report, I was like, okay, cool, I'm good. I'll start listening again.
So now you got your
R.
Kelly jam somewhere.
If it comes on, I don't turn it off. I don't pump it up just to, I don't go say I'm going to listen to R. Kelly, but if it comes on, I used to just turn it off instantly. But once I found out the music goes to his victims,
then you just turn it up.
Yeah, well, that's not what I'm reading.
Okay, what is
this?
Okay, once again, here's the partial. Mr. Elias is partially correct. So the money goes to the copyright holders, and they can choose to do with the money as they please, including giving money to Kelly's victims or paying off his debt. But it looks like Mr. Elias is right, because it looks like they have been ordered to give all royalties to his victims. Okay, all right, fair enough. But let me ask you this.
It's not a thank you, because if you're, are you, when it, when, if it comes
so now
to
you're gonna,
me,
so now you're going to punish,
no, no,
so
I'm
now you're
going
to punish
no,
the
I'm
victims
asking,
even more
let me ask
by
my
not
question.
Listening to his music.
No.
Go, Momo, because I think I know where you're going with this, and I'm going to chime in.
When it comes on the radio.
Go ahead.
You turn it up. Nobody knows that you're listening to it on the radio. You saying to yourself, oh, I'm going to turn this up because some of this is going. How does anybody know if you listen to it or not?
When did I say I was going to turn it up, Momo B? When did I say I was going to turn it up? I said I listened to his music.
I'm just saying.
I said I listened to his music. You had to turn it up, stuff of that. If it comes on, I don't cut it off. If it's playing on my iPod or any of my music collection, I play it. I don't turn it up, but I play it.
But answer this question, Mr. Elias. So I do not play his music. So when I stick my CD in and play 12 play, you know, my body's calling, a homie love
nobody's
a friend.
Nobody's going to know.
Nobody's going to know. So when I'm playing, he's not getting any money for that.
Right.
So what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Okay, I said on spot. I stream music on different vendors. So I stream music. So yes, they do get it. When you stream the music, people get a percentage of that. So what are you talking about?
I said I don't listen to his music anymore, and you said that. Well, I do.
And it comes
and I'm
on.
Like, well, why do you listen to it?
Because his victims get money from it. So now you're going to punish his victims even more by not letting them get their music.
I'm not punishing his victims for anything. I don't want to hear that monster's voice.
So you go on, what is it called, Spotify, and look up R. Kelly's favorite list, and you just pump it.
My stuff is in random, so when it comes on, why do you keep saying pump it? If it comes on, I'm listening to it. I listen to it. You damn right I do, because his victims get money from it.
Okay.
His victims get money from it.
Yeah,
you're damn right.
Okay.
I don't care. You just been proving that when his victims get music, get money from it.
If my daughter was one of his victims and I heard you playing it, we would have a problem. That's all I'm saying.
If it came on, your daughter didn't get money from it.
We know. I don't need that money.
Why don't you just donate it? Just donate money instead of, you don't have to listen to his music. Just donate to a cause to help the victims. Why listen to his music?
Yeah. How about that? Just send my daughter a check.
Why not do both?
Okay, there you go. Fair enough. All right. Well, anyway, I don't know how R. Kelly came up.
I never thought you would be that man. I never thought that of you, Les.
That I would support victims of rape? That I would do that? But you're probably right,
Mama. I never thought I'd be that man.
Yeah, right. I mean, listen, to support, look, I support the National Association for Cancer, but I'm not going to go out here and do no damn 5K run to support it. Hell, I send them a check. You can support them in different ways. Look, I can't do a two blocker, so that's why I'm not going to do nothing. You want to support us
again? That is your choice. That's your choice.
I guess you're in America. Okay, you're right, Mr. Elias. I'm not going to argue with
you,
brother. Okay, that's true. So I just want to make sure that on the record. Fans, if you see Mr. Elias driving in one of his Benzes and you hear the windows down and he's playing "My Body's Calling for You," he is supporting R. Kelly's victims.
Ain't nothing wrong.
That's it.
Yeah. That's a little bit of bump and grind.
Of a teenager.
There it is, Mr. Elias. You remind me of my Jeep. Yeah.
I want to ride it.
Yeah.
Back,
forth and forth. Mr. Elias, we're helping you support R. Kelly. Yes.
How's that support R. Kelly? He gets
You're right. You're supporting the victims of R. Kelly. We want the fans to know, our listeners, that Mr. Elias, if he's pumping "My Homie Love a Friend," if you see him at a red light, that's what Mr. Elias is doing. Don't mix it up. Because Mr. Elias is supporting the victims of R. Kelly by pumping his music.
Yeah, he don't mean nothing else by it.
Yeah, that's it. Don't read into it. Don't look at Mr. Elias with the side eye. Like, what the hell are you doing, brother?
If the person behind him is rocking too, don't assume that they're a bad guy. They follow Miss Elliott.
There you go. But listen, but in fairness, but in fairness, Miss Elliott,
I really don't care what y'all say.
Okay, fine. We already know
that. Don't make no difference.
Okay, fine. But listen, listen. But in fairness to Miss Elliott, what I don't understand is that these women who will listen to this music that's calling them bitches and hoes. And they just, oh, I want my bitches to stick her ass. I mean, and they just dance.
Huh?
I'm like, are you serious? Are you serious? My daughters listen to that stuff. My daughter, we were going out of town yesterday, and a song came on, and she started dancing. I'm like, what are you doing? But hey, do you.
That's the sign of the times, boo.
Well, whatever. It's whatever. But do you? So anyway.
He said,
so,
but
so,
do you? I'm sure that wasn't the end of that conversation.
That conversation's over. All right. So, but anyway. So I think P. Diddy's in trouble. I think he's going to jail. And at the end of the day,
God,
when they bust into your house, listen, you can't do. Let me. The one thing I hate and despise the most is that you have power and you make people do things. You know, because you got the ability to do so. Like you're God or somebody. You're not God.
Yeah, that's wild.
You're not God. You're going to sit here and have somebody perform sexual acts to entertain you? Who the hell you think you are? You take these young girls and you trick them out. That young lady that was his girlfriend, you know, he settled that lawsuit quick. Like, oh, no, we got to take care of this. No, we can't let this hit the light of day. I mean, you know, listen. What?
Did you ever read Playboys and stuff? You still got Playboys and stuff like that?
Man, I don't have no damn Playboys. What are you talking about?
Did you ever support Playboys?
No, I never supported Playboys.
Yeah, he did the same thing. He did the same thing. Mm-hmm.
I never supported Playboys. I thought he was a sick old man.
Right.
That's what I thought.
Right.
No, it's
what are you talking to me?
Look at Miss Elliott. Miss Elliott with a comeback. Get him, boys.
Well, who team are you on? I mean, what's going on with you? Now, you're just like a pancake. One side gets brown, flip your ass to the other side, and you get brown,
I'm
too. 347-850. Yeah, whatever. 347-850-1272 is the caller number. 42 minutes after the hour, you listen to The Serious Side. So, here's the question.
Miss
Elliott?
Before we go any further. You know, we got to introduce the smartest man in the world, Mr. Drummer Street. Mr. Drummer Street, good morning. How you doing, sir?
Oh.
Hey, I'm good, man. How you doing?
Oh, man.
Hey,
the eclipse is tomorrow, and we got one today. What's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you guys? Well, I see how y'all doing, but I just want to... I see what you're doing, and I see how you're doing, so I'm good, man.
Well, it's good to hear from you, brother. It's good to hear from you. So as we wrap this segment up, you know, listen, I mean, they're all, like you said, Momo B, they're all allegations, you know, so we don't know. But at the end of the day, you've been hearing stories about this guy. And now, I never watched the Cat Williams Club Shay Shay thing. Did he even mention this on that podcast? Any of you guys know? Because I'm hearing that he did.
I watched it. I don't remember him saying Diddy.
He didn't say anything about Diddy.
He didn't go into detail. He didn't go, if he did, because I don't remember him saying Diddy at all. But if he did, he didn't go into details. Like, he was going off on everybody that he named. But he didn't go into detail about Diddy.
I'll implore everybody to watch what Jaguar Wright said about Diddy. She had a lot of interesting.
What did she say? Well, okay. Well, won't you give us? You can't just throw it out there. What did she give
it
us?
It doesn't even matter what you say. It doesn't even matter what she said about Diddy. You still gonna be listening to his music because you are R. Kelly fan still, and maybe you're gonna
see,
be the
you
same
be
thing.
Messy. You be a messy.
Yes, I am.
You be a messy. Yes, you are. You be a messy. All right,
Momo, trust me. It don't matter to me what you say.
He don't give
it
a damn.
Yeah,
you
know,
I am going to be me. Go vote. And whatever I feel in my soul, I don't follow the crowd.
Everybody
go vote. I
do not follow
the crowd.
Everybody go vote.
Go
all
vote.
Right.
That's
you made me forget my train. Now listen, let me tell you something. Now, like I said, I don't know what's going on with this whole thing with Diddy, but let me just say this: if Luke Skywalker say he leaves your parties early. Now, we're talking about Big Booty Luke with all the girls dancing who brought you know that knee. If he's leaving your parties early, boy must be off the chain. That's all I can say to you. I have no idea. Jerome, I know this is beneath
you. Yeah, because there ain't no girls there.
Damn. I know this is beneath you, Jerome, and I really feel horrible for even asking you if you want to comment on this. But, okay. You know, obviously, sir, you know, you are fam, and you are part of what we do. So I will give you the option if you want to take the last couple of minutes to talk about this trash that we're talking about during this first segment. It's up to you, sir.
Actually, I don't know what the trash is that you're talking about. I think it's Diddy stuff, but
yes.
It went a couple of different ways with R. Kelly, so I didn't know.
Yes.
So I don't know. Yes. You're going to have to ask me a question. I don't know what this
trash
is.
Trash is trash.
Let me ask him the question. So you heard about the raid. So what do you think about this whole situation? Give me your thoughts.
Oh, yeah. I think that Cat Williams did mention, because he said sometimes you got to tell them no, right? Like when you're in the industry and somebody asks you to do something, you can't just do anything to get on. So
right.
I think the bigger picture of the Puff situation, and I don't know him. I just want to say that for the record. I do have somebody who's really close to me that knows him. But the thing in life, no, I mean, I have no connection to any of this, like the have any insight on him, but
okay.
I can tell you this, it's not him. So you want to talk about Clive
Davis,
what's his name? Yeah, you want to talk about Clive Davis and the guy who's head of Universal, you want to talk about those guys who probably groomed Puffy. So he's going to probably go down in light of covering for them other folks too, because I guarantee you Puffy's not the ringleader of that stuff. Like that's not a thing. So whatever is happening under the rap R&B side, whatever Puff was doing to the people he was doing stuff to, if you know, as
it
goes, the casting stuff, and you know, I'll be, you know, about to release his memoirs or book or whatever he's writing. Those guys are old friends. I think they all grew up in Mount Vernon. Like they all went to Mount Vernon.
Money,
Heidegger, I think.
Money earning.
Yeah,
where I live now.
Right, so I think the Albies is going to be just as big
explosive
as anything else. So I think his sons are implicated to some degree, and so
because they have babies by the same mother.
Yeah,
huh?
Albie
sure, Diddy got the same baby mama. With
I thought you said it's son. Oh, I'm like, damn, what the hell's going on around here? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she worked at Uptown back in the days, right? So Kim Porter's who we're talking about, who passed away. So
right.
I think it's going to be, Puffy is going to be scapegoated. The reason that everybody, you know, 50 Cent and all these things are going on where they're like, Puffy need to be on, probably going to be on suicide watch because it's an Epstein situation. Puffy came into a business that he had a lot of success, and he had a lot of somebody clearing the path for him. So all of this stuff he did not orchestrate, right? And so we just kind of have to see the big picture while we're kind of reporting news, is that he was probably groomed himself and put in a situation. That's not excusing him. I'm glad Vanessa's not here, but she's like, what about him? He's going to get whatever he gets, but I'm just saying, like,
that's
in the
right,
bigger picture.
As he should.
Right. Nobody's defending any of that stuff, because that, from what I've been reading about the whole Cassie stuff, that is going to be horrible. And I take no pleasure in nobody else's pain, but I can tell you this, that girl should not have to go through Jack. You shouldn't have to go through Jack in the music business, but it is pretty much a gay cult to some degree. No matter where you are, you know, casting calls for women have been horrible for years, all of that. So, yeah.
Right.
So just like Epstein, and I hope to not hear from Oprah and Gail, right? I don't care what Puffy does. I do not want to hear from either one of them, because anytime a black man does something, those two fools come out and be like, oh my gosh, we have to, but they won't deal with, you know, the Weinsteins of the world, right? Because that's their friends. I think Puffy's their friend too, but that's a whole nother story. But I'm just it's a tough thing for me, just even in watching, just because it is, even though it's scandal and gossip and all of that other stuff, it is still kind of sick and sad that our focus is going to be on the scapegoats and not the people who are really, really keeping that industry down. And
look at that
that's
guy.
Yep.
Look at this guy. This is the reason why we call him the smartest man in the world. He comes in and bring in some juicy tidbits that I didn't even know. Thank you so much, Jerome, for your comments. And that is the official end of the Puffy R. Kelly, Mr. Elias segment. 347-850-1272. You know what? I can't even introduce. Okay, in 4 minutes or less, something that you need to know is convenient time. We're just going to go, and we'll be right back after this. Jesus Christ.
Inflation remains a top issue for voters this election year, especially for parents who have the added financial stress of raising children, NPR's Ashley Lopez reports.
Joseph Youssef and his 11-year-old daughter, Jaquela, are playing basketball on a day off from school. Jaquela lives with her mom most of the time, but Youssef picks her up from her Washington, D.C. area school every day. They do homework together, sometimes they play video games. Like most kids, her interests are constantly changing.
She's obviously developing her own personality, and I'm loving that, but she also takes a lot of me. Personality, the careness, the thoughtfulness, but also the funny and craziness.
Youssef says he has this big support system that has helped him co-parent. Besides Jaquela's mother, his own mother and grandmother pitch in when he needs it. But he says there is one aspect of being a parent that he finds really challenging.
Definitely making enough money to have a sustainable lifestyle. I feel like it all stems from there because, like, I want to do more for my child. I want to be able to take her out and surprise her with these gifts and, you know, trips and whatnot.
Youssef, who works at Howard University as an events and facilities coordinator, says he also wants to start saving for college for her. But it's just not feasible as the price of rent, insurance, and food remains so high. Reagan Selden knows what it's like to have a hard time staying on top of costs. The Philadelphia mother has six children ranging from ages 11 to 25. She says in the 25 years she's been raising children, inflation has made this one of the tougher financial times for her and her husband, even though they're bringing in more money.
And I feel like, personally, I feel like it's harder now because even though I am financially where I wasn't 25 years ago, I feel like things have gotten more expensive. And so if I had to, I guess, go back to that time, I would have said that I would be much better.
During the pandemic, many families were getting some significant help from the government. From July to December 2021, a majority of American households with children had the option of getting an advance on the child tax credit paid out in monthly installments. But Congress let that extra help expire, and it ended at a time that inflation kept climbing. Starsky Wilson with the Children's Defense Fund says families are still catching up.
The economic situation for children and families is getting better as inflation eases. But you have to consider the fact that this significant support was taken away at a time when prices were still high.
That support going away has driven frustration among parents struggling with high prices. Alicia Gordon is with the Current Project, which is a nonprofit focused on Black single mothers. She says when there's political will, she's seen that lawmakers have solutions.
Why is it that in the pandemic we actually were able to utilize our imaginations about how to reimagine processes like child tax credit and turning it from a one-time payment at the end of the tax year into a multiple-month payment where we saw millions of children being lifted out of poverty, and then when that ended, all of these children go back into poverty.
There is a new effort to temporarily expand the child tax credit again, though not as generously as during the pandemic. And it's stalled in the Senate. Parents like Reagan Selden say they're paying attention to what lawmakers and candidates on the campaign trail are saying about this.
ultimately, this is our future. And if we don't make the right decisions now, we're basically just wiping out an entire generation, because where will they be if we can't give them just a bare minimum? So I think that it absolutely does shape the way that I look at this upcoming election.
Advocates say this is likely to be another campaign cycle where the concerns of families get a lot of lip service. But Selden says she and other parents are listening for whether any meaningful help for parents is actually proposed. Ashley Lopez, NPR News.
Folks, if we're going to win re-election, I need you by my side from the very start. Whatever you're able to chip in, even if it's just a buck or two, will have a huge impact on our campaign. This might just be our hardest fight yet. Will you make a donation and stand with Kamala and me? It'd mean the world to us. Thank you.
Online radio at its best.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. Lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over that. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. So just as I say we aren't gonna let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of
Welcome back in. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number. It's the Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. 56 years ago, on April 3rd, that speech, which in my opinion is one of the greatest speeches that I've ever heard. Dr. Martin Luther King stood in front of an audience and pretty much knew, I think he knew, that his days were numbered, and gave a profound speech. We want to celebrate the 56th anniversary of Dr. King's death, because I feel that normal and regular media, we just don't see it. The news has been clouded with so much Trump stuff, and I will give Mr. Elias all the credit in the world when he calls people out on that. But I want to spend some time to talk about a man that means so much to all of us. the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And let me start off with you, Jerome, on this particular segment. Tell me, what emotions do you feel when you hear this speech? I mean, just give me your, because I've never asked, you know, every year we always, you know, you hear this speech if you go back and listen to old episodes at around this time, because we always want to make sure that we acknowledge of this great man and his just tragic death that happened April 4th in 1968. But when you hear that particular speech, tell me, man, what goes through your mind?
Yeah, well, the same thing that you said, that he knew what was going on. I think that the stronger that you get, generally, you start to have a pretty spiritual connection to everything that's going on around you. So, you know, it was a speech to me of encouragement, but it was also sad. I, you know, feel some kind of way when people can predict their own, you know, that they're not going to be here.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to say it like that, because spiritually, in passing away, you know that you're doing something for a bigger purpose.
Right.
Right. And so sacrifice is just what it is. It's not like, you know, he could have sat back and preached like every, you know, like some of the other preachers back in the day, and be like, I don't want no trouble with nobody, right? And he took it on the chin. Like, he just pretty much said, this is what we're doing. So, you know, I have respect for anybody who stand up in the face of the pressure to conform. You know, I don't take up any day. So that's what I hear when I hear the speech, is just that the he was conceding and he was preparing everyone for what was going on with him, but he was also enlightening them of what he prophesies, what he sees. And so it's a great – you're right, it's a great speech, but I have mixed emotions about it anytime I hear it.
Yeah, same here. What about you, Mr. Elias? What emotions are, you know, just tell me, man, what happens when you hear this speech from Dr. King?
I have a range of emotions, man, from anger to sadness, man. Anger that, you know, that this was the, you know, that he knew he was going to, if this was it, and how, you know, some people could just take you out for the fact that you're speaking the truth, you know, and you're fighting for what's right. And I'm sad because, you know, man, look, this man gave his all. And the FBI, they're some dirty bastards, man. You know, anytime you send something to him to say, hey, man, we know what you're doing, kill yourself. Hey, man, these are some of the dirtiest. J. Edgar Hoover was a dirty bastard. He is. He's a low-down, dirty piece of crap. But, you know, this was a great speech. He knew in his heart of hearts he wasn't going to be, because he even told you, say, I might not get there with you, because he knew his life was in jeopardy. So you got to stand up for what's right, even though when nobody else stands up for what's right, you stand up for it. No matter what the prices and the sacrifices are, you have got to stand up for what's right. And if you don't do that, you're living a life. You're living an unfulfilled life. You got to stand up for what you believe in.
Yeah. What about you, Momo? When you hear the speech, your thoughts?
When I hear the speech, I get sad and I get mad. First is the sad, then is the mad, because he was for peace. He wanted to talk and settle stuff fairly for everyone. He just wanted equality. And that's the yes part. The yes, I agree with that. Yes, let's go. Let's do it. But then it was sad because nobody was listening. Nobody was listening, like the I wasn't listening. They didn't want to settle nothing fairly. They thought what was going on was supposed to be, and it was just running with what they knew or thought or felt or whatever to keep us down. He tried, and I give him that, when he could have just chilled and talked to us, you know, talked to us privately and say, well, we need to do this, and we need to think about this, and we need to try to do that with us. But no, he stepped outside the box. He was telling everybody, like, yo, we need to do this. Black, white, whatever color you are, we need to be together. And it was sad because it didn't work out. And he knew. I know that he knew what he was doing is going to end up how it ended up. They're going to take him out and bring him down. And he was brave. He was a brave man because he knew it. He knew what was going to happen. You can't talk all that talk in that time and survive. You can't. So when he stepped out there and did all that, talking and walking and talking and walking, they threatened him millions of times. He was threatened. A regular person would have been like, oh, okay, back it up, we're moving. I'm not saying nothing, no more. You know, just shut it down. He didn't care. He didn't care, but he knew those people wasn't playing with him. He knew that. But he still kept talking. That's why I love him.
Yeah, you're right. He kept talking, you know, and I always say, you guys who've been listening to this show for a long time, I'll always tell you that Muhammad Ali is probably my favorite athlete because of not only of what he accomplished in the ring, but what he accomplished outside of the ring. And the fact that he gave black people, you saw him talking crazy to white folks. He beat up white people in the ring.
Yeah.
He got booed and jarred and everything, but it was like, hey, I'm going to talk trash because I'm the greatest. And, you know, so I always, to me, Muhammad Ali is like right there in my top three as far as my favorite athlete. As far as Dr. King, you know, Jerome, it's interesting because, you know, when we have these conversations, you know, you talk about how, you know, the FBI was booking his rooms and you talk about how, okay, you know, they say that this guy, James Earl Ray, killed him, but come on. No, we have to come to the reality that there's more to this than meets the eye. You can't always trust what you read in the history books, right?
Right. Right. That's always a, you know, an issue. Like we know kind of from our perspective that nobody is going to tell our story but us. And somehow, you know, at some point we stop listening to us. If we, you know, I'm not saying that Martin Luther King was absolutely 100% right, but he was 100% right at what was going on to us in the community, right? Everybody, you know, the way that he approached it was just a strategy, right? And so we should not live that way because, again, the reason that Martin Luther King was killed or during the time, around the time he got killed in 68, he said that we need to ditch nonviolence and go to a more aggressive nonviolence and take the women and children out of the struggle. Like he was conceding to the fact that those people are not letting up off us. Initially, nonviolence was a strategy to shine the light on how brutal they were. And once they did that but still didn't care, he was like, okay, we need to do something else. And so every time that man passes, we go back farther, you know, go back to the 63 version opposed to 68, who said, I've seen this movie, right? And he's seen the mountaintop, right? And he knows that things have to change because of something he, you know, not just that he set in motion, but that Malcolm, that the nation has set in motion. We need to do something different. And I think that whenever I hear Martin Luther King generally, it reminds me of how disconjointed we are as a community, because even polling back then, only 30% of black folks followed him, right? And it shines a light on the government, you know, who was found guilty in 99 to conspiring to kill Martin Luther King in Memphis. They were found guilty, which we don't like to update our history. And so that brings all of that in mind, that this government is foul when it comes to black leadership and black folks who do not want to conform. Cruel to them.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right about that. And you're right. We need to update our history books because at the end of the day, well, you know, it's interesting, Mr. Elias. I was having a conversation with a person, with one of my friends the other day, and we were talking about how black history is not taught in school. I remember when I had talked to my kids about you know, I made my kids watch the Mississippi Burning, and they were like, why are we watching this, Dad, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, well, we didn't even know about this. I'm like, are you serious? No, we didn't hear about this. And I'm like, what the hell's going on in our school systems where our people don't know the history of the struggle? How can you – and I was shocked by that. and they didn't want to watch it. But when they watched it, they were like, oh, my God. It's like they haven't been exposed. It was like their Roots moment. Now, for those of us who got a little age on us, I remember when Roots first came out on – was it on ABC, I think it was? And, boy, the next day when we got to school, they had police there because they knew we were fired up and ready to go because we had never seen anything like that before. I had never seen – you know, here's Mike Brady calling somebody a nigga. And I'm like, what? You know, and it was like we were fired up. And they kept the white kids because we had a few white kids that went to our elementary school. They kept those kids at home because they said, man, it's going to be some mess up in here. And we were ready to fight. And so, you know, when you think about it, the fact that our children don't even know our history. Because they're trying to sugarcoat it, Mr. Elias. They're trying to gloss over it. They're trying to act as if, oh, well, you know, we live in a different time. Well, do we really? Can I remind you of white men running around saying Jews will not replace us with tiki torches? That was what within the last 5 years, right? What say you, Mr. Elias?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, man? I can only say this, man. The bottom line, they're really trying to erase us because they don't even want history to learn in schools. Think about what DeSantis is doing in Florida. This cat is saying, you know, that slavery is like a job corps for us, you know.
They got skills. Got some good skills
like
that.
This is how they're treating us right now. And I thank God for my mother. I didn't like it at the time. But in the summer, and we got up the summer, my mother brought these looks, and I still got these paper bags to this day. And it taught us about black history and black heroes. Like, I remember Charles Drew, you know, the first man to do blood transfusion. But isn't it strange that he died from a lack of blood when he hit a car accident? So, you know, man, look, my mother was that person that would make us get up every morning and read black history facts. And we got out of school for the summer. She's like, nope, you're not going to go outside until you tell me, until you read a story about black history, then you come back and tell me about it. But this is how I was raised, you know. But, you know, you have, as a parent, have got to teach your kids about black history facts because the schools right now are not going to do it. They're not going to do it because they don't want their little white kids to feel bad about the way they treated us as human beings. This is the only reason that they're doing this. So you, as all black parents, you got to, you know, and I teach my nieces and nephews on a consistent basis about black history. You know, if we get out of stoplight, say, you know, you got to reach, you got to stop right because of black man, Mr. Morgan. Yes. So these are things.
What about open heart surgery? Open heart surgery. Don't forget that. I mean, you know, come on.
But these are things that we've got to teach our children. You know, because right now, if you're relying on the school system to teach it, hell, they don't even teach about what's going on in the election cycle. So look, this is done intentionally. So. You know, you're just passed. We gotta get together and start teaching our own children. Then I'm gonna do it.
Okay. Oh, could I get a chance to talk?
Final word goes to you.
Like nobody. No, I'm just saying that they don't teach. I'm gonna tell you why they don't teach black history in schools. I wasn't taught black history when I went to school. My daughter wasn't taught black history when she went to school. They don't teach it. And I know they teach it in some states. I heard they teach it in some states in high school. I've never seen a high school that taught it, but somebody said something. I don't even know. But when you learn black history, you learn it in college. They give you the option to take that in college. But before then, they don't teach us nothing. And you know why? Because they don't want the fallback. They don't want the white versus the black again. So they're not going to teach you what happened to us because somebody going to say something slick, and then we're going to get mad, and boom, boom, boom. They don't want that. And that's the bottom line. Because if I don't know something that happened to my people back in the day, and I'm sitting in class, and a lady, if she's white or black, I don't care what color she is teaching it, and then the opposite side talks crap about, well, they, you never know what's going to come out of some child's mouth, and then it's going to be a problem. So I believe that's why they don't want to go there, because they don't want to sit there and try to teach, because it's just division. That's basically what it is. It's history, but it's division. So if we came this far with my black daughter and your black your white daughter, and now I'm going to teach what the white people did to my black child might be upset with the white girl over there. That's what I don't mess with. It's just like politics and religion. That's what I believe.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's all about trying to sugarcoat our history and try to, you know, look, they got rid of you know, affirmative action when it comes to, you know, colleges and stuff. So, hey, be on the lookout.
But
they're
you
coming.
Know what else? They could have offered a black history class and all be filled with black people, because I know white people wouldn't want to join that class.
You'd be surprised. I know some white kids that definitely want to learn about the African-American history. But you're right, Momo
B. They can learn about it, but not in my class, unless you're going to be quiet.
Unless you're going to be quiet. Okay. All right, folks. We have more to come. It's 15 minutes after the hour. We're going to step out, get some music in our soul, and we'll be right back after this. Don't you go anywhere. You're listening to The Serious Side on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best.
Come on, let's go.
Just a minute, I gotta finish this.
Wait, you're gonna post those pictures of Mary?
Yep. She thinks she's so hot.
But her mom and dad will see them. Her grandmother, her little sister, everyone she knows, it's gonna kill her.
Who cares? Just a couple of pictures. No big deal.
No big deal? Don't. This has gotta stop.
Stop cyberbullying. The results could be deadly.
Let the music play. online radio at its best.
The San Bernardino Sheriff's Office has released videos helping to explain how a 15-year-old girl ended up dead in a highway shootout that involved law enforcement and her father. This video shows Savannah Graziano making her way out of the passenger side of her father's truck after he led deputies on a high-speed chase. As she moves toward police, this horrific end began to unfold the day before, on September 26, 2022. Police had issued an Amber Alert for Savannah, believing she had been taken by her father, Anthony Graziano. Graziano had killed his estranged wife outside of Fontana School and shot at two others near the school. Police got a tip about their pickup truck the next day from a gas station clerk.
I think it's the girl and I think it's the dad.
Deputies caught up with the truck on the freeway near Linwood.
There's a white pickup truck, probably doing 100 miles an hour. East.
Police say someone in that pickup fired multiple shots at deputies.
Shots fired, shots fired.
The bullets hitting several patrol cars. Deputies reported shots fired from both the driver and passenger windows. A witness also told investigators he believed someone was shooting from the passenger side.
Was it the driver or was it someone else in the car?
It must have been someone else because someone was still driving the truck.
The truck, driven by Anthony Graziano, carrying Savannah in the passenger seat, eventually exits the freeway and loses control. Recordings show deputies call to Savannah to get out of the car. They say she was wearing tactical gear and a helmet.
Passenger, get out! Passenger, get out! Get out! Get out! Get out! Passenger, get out! Get out!
Welcome back in. 23 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Another police shooting. Obviously, this was a little bit of a different situation. High-speed chase. Father kidnaps his daughter. Kills his estranged wife. Now, this happened a few years back, but the video was just released here recently. And it looks as if this young lady was surrendering to police when they shot and killed her. Now, I don't want to, listen, you need to go watch the video and make your own decision on whether or not they used the proper amount of lethal force. Was it justified? I guess that's where I'm going with this. But listen, we've seen this before, and we've talked about these things before, Ms. Delias, where, you know, police officers, you know, in a high tension situation, you know, engage in lethal force. Now, from the video that I saw, it was from the angle of the helicopter, and it looks as if she, you know, listen, and I try to put myself in their shoes, right? Because, you know, you're chasing a car, you know, somebody shooting from both the passenger side and the driver's side. You know, hindsight's 20/20. Everybody's a great Monday morning quarterback. But when you're in that situation, all of a sudden someone gets out the car that has tactical gear on. I don't know, because think about it from this perspective. They already knew, I'm assuming, that this is the guy. This was the young lady from the Amber Alert. So, you know, her father could have been forcing her to do this. But I don't know. It's just a tragic situation, man, and I'm curious as to what you're thinking. What's your thoughts on this?
I reserve the right to. I haven't seen the video, so I can't really say anything about it at this point in time. You know, but the bottom line is, a 15-year-old girl has lost her life because, you know, of a shooting. I don't know. I haven't seen the video, so I can't.
You know, but here's the bigger picture. Here's the bigger picture. You know, listen, all of us are either parents or we're, you know, aunts or uncles or brothers and sisters. I still, to the life of me, can't understand what makes people do the things that they do. So this man was so enraged that he shot and killed the mother, right, in front of a school, shot at some other people. Then he kidnaps his daughter I mean, I know we have mental illness in this country, Jerome. I don't want to sit here and make light of that, but someone in their right mind. And let me say this, because I've said this on the show before, that I know of some situations where mothers have done things to fathers, and I'm not blaming the mama, so I don't want anybody, when I start pulling these comments for state your case, I don't want to hear that. I'm not blaming the mother by no stretch of the imagination. But I have said this before, that there have been situations where I've seen mothers do things to fathers, and I said, man, they better be glad this dude is in his right mind, because a weak-minded joker will go there and just kill everybody. But once again, it kind of goes back to the mental illness, because you have to be crazy to do something like this, right? I don't understand it, Jerome, how we as human beings can be so freaking spazzed out that the person that we love, I'm assuming he loved his daughter, you will put her in harm's way. And I don't know if he survived or not. I guess I need to look that up. But we know one thing, she's gone. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with Elias. Since I didn't see any of it, it's really difficult. But I tell people, just like not going to court for black folks, your last resort is to call the police. Like, just, there is no balance when it comes to us, and everybody's playing. Right, we're always the extreme, violent, criminal type in people's head, even if you're speaking nicely to people. So it, I don't know. I mean, this is, you know, I always have a hard time with this kind of stuff, but it's difficult because we haven't, you know, put a dent in understanding, you know, white folks' pathology when it comes to dealing with black people, especially in crisis. They don't really come, and even if it was a black officer, still trained to think like police officers. So we don't, you know, it's tough. It is tough. You want to call because of the serve and protect side of it, but at the same time, you know that's not what they're coming for.
Mm.
They're coming forward to enforce justice or whatever, you know, testosterone-driven attitude that is. They're not trying to protect and serve. It's always like there's action. And so that situations are tough. And like I said, since I didn't see it, I you know, feel
no,
some kind of way. But I heard enough of it. I heard enough of it to know that it was excessive. Now, that's one thing you don't have to, there was no talking. That was excessive.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, multiple gunshots. I don't know. Momo B, once again, don't understand how human beings do the things that they do, but that's the reason why we have to have police, because we have people out there who are just straight up are hell-bent on not doing the right thing. Whether it's due to their circumstances or a circumstance, I just don't understand how you can take your teenage daughter, the rage when you go and shoot the mama and kill the mama. I have been upset at, you know, my baby's mama, but I have never gotten to the point where I'm saying, you know what, let me just go and take her out. Right. I mean, I just don't get it. So from a woman's perspective, give me your thoughts on this particular case. And like I said, you may not have watched the video, but we've done enough stories like this that in my opinion, we can have a substantial conversation about it, because at the end of the day, you know, there's such a thing as too much of a deadly force. And we have these police officers who are out here. And they're human beings just like everybody else. But at the end of the damn day, don't sign up for a job. It's like being a doctor. You know, we can't sue doctors for malpractice. Hell, why not? Hell. Well, everybody makes mistakes. Yeah, but you signed up in the profession where your mistake could kill somebody.
Yeah.
So you knew that going in.
Though.
Huh?
You could sue anybody for anything.
Yeah, okay.
So you have the right to sue. So that's how that goes. But about this topic at hand, this is sad because you killed the mother. That was my mother. You're my father. You killed my mother. I would have a big problem with that. And now we riding around, people shooting at us, we backing up, we doing this, and I got on all this gear. I don't know why she had on that. I don't know if she, if the father persuaded her to do this or that. And that's what I'm thinking, but I don't know. But that's what I'm thinking. So how could you let somebody kill your mother and just be down with them? I don't care if they're your father or uncle or brother, whoever. You're not going to kill my mother. And we're going to be riding around. And then when she got out of the car, she got back up. I don't know what her intentions was by getting back up. I don't know.
Well, because if you heard, the police officer said, walk towards me. Walk towards me.
Right.
You know, so one's giving commands, the other one's got him surrounded. It's just a tragic situation, and it's
so
just unfortunate.
When he said walk towards me, was the father, where was the father?
The father, no, she was. I think he was talking to the daughter because the father was still in the truck.
Oh,
she
okay,
got out.
He was still alive. Right.
Yeah,
she got out, walked
got
towards
out.
Me, walked towards me. And so why did they shoot her?
Well, that's the $1 million question. Why did they shoot her?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Did she pull out a weapon?
No, I don't think she did. I think what happened was she was in tactical gear. Once again, they said they were shooting from both sides of the windows and stuff. So who knows? I mean, it's just a bad situation all the way around. And it's just unfortunate that a young girl lost her life. And because her freaking father was a psycho at the end of the day.
Right,
and
that's
I
the
think
thing.
That
the fathers are always psychos. They always are. Especially, like, you knew, I'm not saying every father in the world. I'm just thinking in that situation, he already killed her mother.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't even mess with you.
Well, you
I was
know,
like,
if
I'm
you,
not messing with you, homie. You killed
yeah,
my mother.
Well, yeah, well, it's easier said than done when you're a 15-year-old girl. I mean, you're talking from a grown woman's perspective. 15-year-old girl, father shows
no,
up at the
I
school.
Was 15 once upon a time. If you killed my mother, we're going to have a problem.
Okay, I forgot who I'm talking to. Okay, thank
you.
You're right. Thank you very much, Momo B. All right, we're stepping out. 347-850-1372. Yeah, bye, girl. We'll be right back after this.
Oh, those boys are much too much. Those boys are much too much.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them. Beat them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Let's get a little bit rowdy. R-O-W-D-Y.
Take time to be a dad
One more
today.
Time. All those boys are much too much. Those boys are much too much.
Now, well-qualified buyers can get 1.9% APR financing on 2024 Acura models.
Listen long enough, you can love me.
Your mind. I'll take you far.
Welcome back here, 347-850-1272. It is a serious side on a beautiful Sunday. Hopefully the weather's great in your neck of the woods. We're just chilling, hanging out, chilling from the first, from the fourth floor. Brother Man from the fifth floor. Mr. LES is in the house. Jerome's in the house. Momo BZ is. The Heezy's in the house. Vanessa Bay Belly is off this morning. Let's say good morning to our peeps. Good morning, Momo.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
Always good to hear from you. The smartest man in the world, Mr. Jerome Esprit, in the house as well. Good morning, Jerome. How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm good, man. Good morning. How are you?
Doing outstanding. Question is, what we doing at the top of the hour? We doing anything? We doing a dance? We doing a shake? What we got going on at the top of the hour? Talk to me.
No, we have nothing going on at the top of the hour.
All right, so you got to wait another week.
Got to wait another week, yeah.
There you go. That's all right. The man who gets the first and last word here on the serious side, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S. What's going on, bro? How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to you, and good morning, Nessa. Good morning, Mama B. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, Real Billiard. Good morning, Rich Sister. Good morning, Man of Music. And Man of Music, that first song was Let the Music Play, and it's by Collective Peace. And the second song was Make You Feel by Elena Brazil and Gali Matias. And good morning, my brother Hawk, and good morning, my brother Jerome.
Stelly S, man, can we say hello to some people in the chat, sir, if you don't mind?
My brother Covina, man's in there with us, man.
Man, you know what? I love that dude right there. I can't wait to meet you one day, Kavina. I can't wait to meet you one day. I want to say what's up to the pastor, Pastor Steve. Peace and blessings to you like you always say to us. I want to say what's up to Trisha. What's up, Bryce? What's up, Terrence? What's up, Tanya? What's up to Justin? What's up to everybody that's tuning in? We appreciate you. Also, what's up to my girl, Real D, Lady Cab Driver, and, of course, Momo BZ and the Heezy's in the house as well. One of the things we did talk about at the beginning of the show that I wanted to kind of bring up a little bit, this whole thing about The Rock said he's not endorsing a presidential candidate. I'm like, so? Who cares? But it's like, you know, these guys think that their word means a whole lot. Well, I guess in a way it does. If they have followers, they are very influential people. So, Jerome, what do you think, man? The Rock saying he's staying on the sidelines this go around. He did this interview on Fox News, which makes me wonder, is he an undercover Republican? What say you?
Right. Hey, he has to be. You know, when you find the comforts of hiding amongst, like, conservative, you are just, like, stirring your business interests, because that's where the money is, right? That's where their billionaires are. That's where they're secretly funding everything. And now that he has the combined XFL and whatever, what is it, the UFL?
USFL. Mm-hmm. It's called a UFL.
So that's what he's playing to. He's playing to his money. And we have to stop listening to entertainers talk about things that is going to affect us personally, because they're just ambassadors for something. So The Rock, no, he should opt out Well, he opting out because it's going to affect his money. And like I said, you don't mess with Oprah. Don't mess with none of those people because we don't know what kind of interest they're protecting.
I agree.
I keep yelling Oprah, but I'm just
saying. I ain't yelling nobody.
All of them. No, I'm just making the point. We need to be conscious that there are people who study this stuff and stop getting suckered by entertainers.
Yeah, there you go. I agree. One last thing, Mr. Elias, and this is towards you, bro. It looks like, you know, first of all, we talked about how the Kansas City Chiefs is now the most hated team in the NFL. Well, maybe they're hated by their fans because guess what? They did not get the votes for a new stadium. So guess what? The mayor of Dallas, Texas said, hey, guess what? Welcome back home, Dallas, Texas. Welcome back home. Oh, Mr. Elias. What you thinking? Talk to me.
Man, look, man, that's a short-lived thing, man. Come on, they win another Super Bowl and people start loving them. They're loving them. Hey,
they have three, and they won't give them a new stadium? Really?
You know what, man? The Bears have none, and they're just not getting a new stadium. That's how thing works,
That's not
man.
A comparison. That's not a comparison. Bears stink.
Why is not a comparison?
Because the Bears stink.
The Bears stink, and they don't have a new. And they're getting a new stadium now. They're getting a brand new stadium right now.
Well, now you're proving my point. So why can't the Kansas City Chiefs get one? Their fans voted no.
Hey, you know what? The fans voted no because they like Arrowhead Stadium.
Okay. All right. I see. Are you saying for the historical? Okay, I got you. All right. Fair enough. All right. Last thing, the eclipse. Are you excited about the eclipse?
Oh, hold on.
What?
Hold on, everybody. Pause. Don't what me. I got my nephew here that want to comment on the football thing y'all talking about.
Oh, wow.
His name is Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Michael.
Come on in.
No.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Hello.
Yes. Yes, Michael. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. How y'all doing?
We're doing great, brothers.
Talk to us.
What's your comment?
I just hear y'all talking about football, and I'm like, oh, they talking about football. So I'm like, I heard y'all say Patrick Mahomes. I'm like, okay, let me see what they talking about.
You said Patrick Mahomes. We didn't say Patrick Mahomes, but we were talking about the stadium in the Kansas City Chiefs. So, yes, that's what we were talking about.
Oh, okay. I'm a Lamar Jackson fan.
Okay. Thank you, bro. We appreciate you.
Yeah,
all right,
we
347-850.
I like Lamar Jackson too, so I'm with him.
Yeah, me too. All right, we're last topic of the day.
Online radio at its best. Breaking news in Donald Trump's civil fraud case. The New York Attorney General has filed notice questioning essentially the financial strength of the company that posted his bond and whether it can cover the cost. So there's a question about whether they're really covering it in a sufficient way. Is that it?
Let's go back for a second. So this morning, Knight Specialty Insurance Company filed a corrected version of the bond that attached, among other things, its financial statements and showed what its assets were as of the end of last year, that's December 31st, 2023. It has over $537 million in assets. And what the Attorney General's office is saying, the cash it has on hand is less than the bond, and they need to know because specifically this company is not admitted under New York's Department of Financial Service. It's not a New York insurer. And because it doesn't have qualifications in New York State, they are entitled to ask for what's called justification of the surety. That means, among other things, Chris, that they want to know, how is this collateralized? What are the specific identifiable assets that Donald Trump posted to ensure that if they went on appeal, they will get back this $175 million and up to the value of the judgment that Judge Engoron had ordered, which at this point stands over $454 million if that judgment's upheld.
All right, so Tish James, man. I'm loving Tish James. Tish James said, wait a minute. Now, how can a company lend you money, more money than what they're actually worth? Hell to the no. You need to show us receipts. And so now... Jerome, here's my question for you. Let me just skip through the chase. Now, if they can't prove this, prove where this money's come from, that they're vested or whatever, I mean, at some point, if he can't make bond, shouldn't they go arrest his ass?
Yes, you think they would, but instead they are going to they need to secure the assets and take the buildings. So money just kind of says that if bond, he would have to post partial bond and they would have to take a building if he can't fulfill all of it. So that's why he's in court now, because he put a junction up against it or whatever it's called, where he's appealing the bond. So while he's appealing, they get to secure money. So the three-judge panel temporarily reduced it until that hearing is heard. So it can go up tomorrow. They go back to court, and they can just say, no, that's not enough. So James is saying that's not enough money to secure 400 mil.
Right,
you need
right.
to give up some more money. But I think he's trying to get that sell of that Truth Social so that he actually has the cash, because they're coming to get it. He's going to lose that money regardless. So I think they're giving him some leeway on the judge's side because they know that, you know, Tish James, they don't want to sell those buildings. You know he overvalued them, so they'll never get their money back.
Right.
So either A, you kind of hold out for him a little bit and getting assets, getting his money together just to pay the fines. And then I think they're just going to go after him. You know, because this is the civil one. This is the money
right.
one opposed
yeah.
to the criminal. So they won't put him in jail more than they will actually lock up his assets. And especially New York State can do that because his golf courses and stuff, they will take all of that. And they have.
Yeah.
They actually have
yeah.
assigned somebody to oversee his operations of everything that he owns in New York.
Yeah.
And so you know
what
the amazing thing is? I'm sorry. You know what the amazing thing is about this? When Tish James did this, now he has to prove income. And they're going to look through his paperwork now. I'm sure he hates this part. They have to.
Well, think about this, Momo Beezy. You have a brother and two sisters holding this dude accountable. And I tell you what, I know that just gets in his craw that he has to answer to these black people. I know I bet you he's just sick to his stomach.
It says something about this country, too,
right?
That
sick.
All of these white judges who had access to prosecute him, even the attorney general, drugged their feet. But the only people who want to deal out justice is those people who actually believe in justice. Everybody else made exceptions. That should tell you.
And she ain't playing around, bro. She said, I don't care. You can threaten me all you want to. And like Fonnie Willis, even though she knows she's kind of staggering a little bit, she did say, hey, look here, the train's coming. The train's coming.
Yeah.
You can run.
All of them,
you can hide. But the train is coming. Mr. Elliott, you need a final word. Momo, go ahead, Momo, real quick. Then I got to give Mr. Elliott a final word.
I'm just saying. I said, that's right. Ain't got time to wait. You better come on. Get down.
Train's
get
coming.
Down.
Train's coming. Trey's coming. Mr. Elliott, my final thought. Give me your final word on this.
And as mad as you, he's been getting away with this stuff for years. And now you hear all these people talking about, well, man, I'll never go to New York again. Who cares if you go to New York again? New York is a great place for me. I enjoy New York. I think it's a stellar city, so you don't have to go. Let me go. I enjoy it. Hell, damn me. I'm glad you ain't going no more anyway.
If he ain't going, and plus five of his friends, we wouldn't miss him at all. Don't come.
There you go.
And
that's a drop the mic moment. All right, quick update, and we'll be back with your comments. Keep it right here.
The Powerball lottery finally has a winner. The lottery says a single winning ticket from last night's drawing for an estimated $1.3 billion was sold in Oregon. Jackpot is the eighth largest in U.S. history. The drawing was the 41st since the last Powerball winner on New Year's Day. It's down to just two teams. Iowa and South Carolina will play this afternoon for the NCAA women's basketball title. Both teams are seeking the national championship, and Iowa's Caitlin Clark is capping her college career, as NPR's Amy Held reports.
Just one game stands between South Carolina and an undefeated season, while the Hawkeyes are eyeing their first-ever national basketball title, steered by star guard Caitlin Clark, who after Friday's Final Four win over UConn was sure to credit her team.
That's the reason we won the game. It wasn't just Caitlin.
But it was just Caitlin who is credited with transforming the game, smashing records, and generating huge interest. Friday's game averaged more than 14 million viewers on ESPN, its largest ever basketball audience. And at today's game in Cleveland, fans are paying a premium to see the end of Clark's four-year journey before she's expected to launch in the WNBA. Amy Held, NPR News.
The title game on the men's side is set. UConn and Purdue will play for the championship tomorrow night after winning their final four games last night. UConn is seeking to become the first repeat champion since Florida in 2006 and 2007. Purdue in the title game for the first time since 1969. This is NPR News.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Netflix, presenting Ripley. From Academy Award winner Steven Zaillian, this limited series stars Andrew Scott as Tom Ripley, a man weaving a complex life of deceit, fraud, and murder. Watch Ripley now, only on Netflix.
All right, welcome back in. 347-850-1272. It is time for Pastor Steve State Your Case. We read comments from social media and from our famous chat room. But let me get to these. Pastor Steve, we love you. It says, peace and blessings, family. I thoroughly enjoyed the segment on Dr. Martin Luther King. Well done, family. Be blessed. Thank you so much, sir. It means a lot coming from you. We have Trisha from New Orleans. Martin Luther King's final speech moves me beyond words. How did he know? You are right, Jay. I learned a lot of my black history through research in Hollywood, Rosewood, Roots. We were taught that Nat Turner and Huey Newton were disruptors. It wasn't until I did my own research to learn the truth about these extraordinary black men. Y'all keep doing what y'all do. Thank you so much, Trish. Mister, man, I always love to hear from Mister from Texas Arcana. Mister said, Miss Trish James is my hero. I hope that POS rots in prison, and after he passes, rots in hell. God bless America. Man, I'm saluting you, Mister. Let's see, Cheryl from Beaumont, Texas. I just love you guys. I hope that y'all blow up like Unk and Ocho Cinco. Man, I do too. All right, let me see. One more. Two more. Tanya from Houston. Jay, you are right. The father's a lunatic. Put that beautiful girl in that situation. One more thing. Ladies, please do your research on these men that you lay up with. You can't tell me that he became crazy overnight. He was a fool when you met him. And not only did he kill her, Now her daughter is dead because of this deranged man. Praying for the family. Let's get one more in. Terrence from Boulder, Colorado. LOL. Y'all were so wrong for that. Keep your head up, nephew. LOL. What is he? Oh, I know what he's talking about. Okay. Man, mind your own business, bro. Stay out of this. It's time for this, folks.
Online radio at its best.
All right, folks. It is time for our final thoughts. What will be? We love you for hanging with us this morning. Give us your final thoughts.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And I love being here. You know, I always got to show up for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah.
But I was happy to hear that. Oh, Miss Elias, love you. Jerome, love you, love you. And I love you too, Jay. I don't like to say that part, but I do.
Well, damn.
But my final thought is...
Damn.
You know how I start with you and then I wrap back around. But my final thought is, don't believe what they say. Believe what you learned on your own.
All right. Thank you, Momo B. And I love you too. And I don't even hesitate to say it. But, you know, we'll deal with that at a later date. Thank you very damn much. And some Hennessy. Okay, anyway. All right. Jerome, man. Final thoughts, brother.
Yeah, I want to say with the eclipse coming up tomorrow,
yes.
You know, the thing about
oh,
an
I thought
eclipse,
that
passed. No, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow, everybody's time is different. But the thing about the eclipse is that it gives you a time. There are planets, there are things that we cannot see in the sky that will be visible tomorrow. And so it's usually when everybody wants to go to church after they see something dramatic or something happens. But if you see something out in the sky tomorrow, it's always been there. So calm your nerves and tune in next Sunday because we will still be here. So I just want to put that out there.
Oh, my God.
That's my final word.
Oh, thank you very much. Mr. Elias.
Oh, my God.
Final thoughts, Mr. Elias. Wow.
Yeah.
Look, folks, get out and vote. Vote, you don't have a voice. I'm going to say that to you every week because, hey, man, this election is one of the most important things of our life. People think that we have the right to vote. But, hey, every so many years, they gotta actually pass that bill again so black folks can have the right to vote. So, look, folks, vote the people in office that are going to give you all your rights and everything you need to do to get your votes out there. And also, hey, if you get a chance, watch the movie called Shirley. It's about Shirley Chisholm. She was a bad girl, is all I can say.
Yeah,
watch that movie. And do your thing. So get out there and vote, folks.
That's what happened.
Oh, well, I guess I'll get a final thought. Thank you, Momo.
Miss Elias is always talking about get out and vote. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying that's the thing that stands for. Everybody stands for something.
Yes,
it's still there.
Do I have to mute her mic? Okay, thank you, Momo B. Thank you very much. All right, so now. Thank you. I have 90 seconds. All right, so listen, real quick, I'll say this. There's a movie coming out that's called Civil War. Hollywood, be careful what you put on screen, right? Because you're trying to make money off of a situation, and what you're going to do is stir up some nonsense. If you've seen the trailer for this movie that's coming up called Civil War, beware. That's all I have to say. And on that note, Mr. L to the E to the S, if it is Sunday and we are talking serious stuff, man, what time is it, my friend? All right, folks, it's been a pleasure to serve you as always. Like Mr. Elias says, get out and vote. And for the first time, I really and truly think that this guy can win this election, and I'm scared to death. So for Momo B, for my boy Mr. Elias, for Jerome, and for Vanessa Maybelly from the McAnally, I'm Jay Rod saying have a wonderful work week. And remember, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, it is the serious side of the Jay Rod Show. God bless. We'll see you next week.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, 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 good thought.
If you're ready, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sallow right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make it do with it.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the Jay Rowe Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.